You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
This show is brought to you by Kay Jewelers. Listen up, NFL fans. Kay just dropped a collection of officially licensed NFL jewelry. Shop your favorite team in the True Fans Fine Jewelry Collection at K.com/TrueFans. Gear up for the season and celebrate the love of the game with Kay.
Wounded Warrior Project is working to foster the most successful generation of veterans in our nation's history. One of the ways they do that is through adaptive sports. Veterans are some of the most resilient people on the planet. It's not about what you can't do after experiencing injury or illness. It's about tapping into what you can do. Learn more about how Wounded Warrior Project's adaptive sports programs are changing lives at www.woundedwarriorproject.org/sports.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It's about to go. The Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast, where we talk history of the game, numbers and stats. And each week we highlight a charity that's doing good. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you should, because I'm the real deal. And you know I gotta shout out the Buffalo Bills. Turn it up to the max, sit back and relax. This the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Let's go.
Hey, what is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome into this episode of the Buffalo Nerd, your home for Buffalo Bills football with a charity on top. Brought to you by Minute Media and Fansided. This is going to be the Week 13 phase report. It's Wednesday. Yeah, the loss still feels bad. It was gross to watch. There's a lot of turmoil coming out of the loss. It's weird, but. Like we do every week, we'll break it down, figure out what took place. I'm disappointed for sure. I mean, obviously, like everybody else, but I'm not on a lot of the boats that I'm seeing rowing along about how we were dominated and like some of these other things, because that's just not really the case. You know, when you look at the numbers of it all, yes, we lost 14-10. We had more than enough opportunities to win the game. Defensively, it looked like that we were dominated because we just kept getting run on, but realistically they were averaging like 4.9 yards a play. I mean, yes, you want it to be lower than that. I mean, we were at 4, but that wasn't that bad. A lot went wrong. Weather, it was confusing to see what we attempted to do with the weather. I felt like the only real negative again for me in this game was that we somehow always find a way to just do what the other team wants us to do instead of us actually going out there and doing what we want to do. it's been talked about a little bit. And, you know, I agree with the sentiment like this. We brought in a wide receiving core to be part of a passing game, not to be run blockers. Not that they can't do it, but they should do it once or twice a game, three, four times a game where they're out on the edge blocking. I mean, realistically, it's 8-10 times, whatever, because they're blocking on most run plays. But it shouldn't be that's what we're all about, because that's not what we're built for. So that was disappointing again that we kind of seemed to do that. I thought McDermott's taking some heat from this. The only things I'd really give him the heat for on this would, like, the guy is just, he struggles to, like, you know that you're never going to win a challenge on a pile of bodies. Like, now, if he wants to come out and say that he did it because they needed a timeout in that situation and he just felt like he wanted to do it for that for some reason and somebody told him he had the view, I hope he would come out and say that, because when you look at it right now, it just looks like it was another bad attempt at a challenge, you know, that may or may not have been needed. You know, obviously it wasn't needed. We know that now, but you never know with another timeout and things like that could have changed things. So it is what it is. But we just kind of went down and said, you know, this is what New England is going to expect us to do. And that's what we're going to do, instead of just being like when we came out against, you know, against the Seattle Seahawks last season and just threw the ball 100 trillion times, said, that's what we're going to do because we know that's how we'll beat you. The same thing that New England was doing on the other side was, hey, we're just going to run it until you can stop it. We decided to try to be balanced for some reason when we're not good at that. So that was kind of a struggle for me. You know, McDermott's comments afterwards, he's getting heat on that. I mean, I agree. Belichick didn't do like something grand and masterful here. I mean, Tennessee's done it to us in the past. Indianapolis basically just did it to us. I mean, Carson Wentz had hardly any passing yards. Tannehill put up some passing yards in that game, but it was basically the run game that destroyed us. So this isn't like rocket science that's come up. It's just, the thing that bothered me about it was you saw late in that game, McDermott, before on the change of the quarter, pulls Milano over and he's like, hey, dude, start running behind the guard. And then Milano makes the huge plays that we need immediately. So it was like, where was that when this was happening the whole game? Because that's been taking place the whole game. Trivial of errors. Again, I thought Mitch Morris said it best in his post-game press conference. We're shooting ourselves in the foot and we just can't seem to stop doing it, you know, and it's kind of like that's the Achilles heel now. We went from having this team that couldn't win to now we have this team that's supposed to beat everybody and they just can't finish all the time. I mean, you've got four opportunities in the red zone. This has been a struggle all season. And come the playoffs, it's going to be intense. You're going to have to be able to punch it in. You know, and speaking of the playoffs, I know a lot of people are freaking out and concerned. Yes, we're still in the wild card. Everything's fine right now. We may not win the division. Who knows? The Patriots could still fall off at any given point in time. It's all up in the air. I mean, look at what's been happening every week. So I'm not sold on the fact that this isn't over for the division with so many games left. They have to play the Colts, who just took it to us. They were playing very good football right now coming out of the bye. So that could very well give them another loss. And we're going to end up having an opportunity to beat them. Then we go into tiebreakers and things of that nature and two games at the end of the season. So I feel like we still got a really good opportunity to be in the mix. We got to figure some things out though. So let's dive into the offense a little bit more. You know, Josh, he made some incredible plays. The reins seemed to be kind of on him a little bit. You know, in the fourth quarter, it was basically like, oh, let's start throwing the ball and we were moving it up and down the field, no problem. So he had some bonehead stuff, I would say. But I mean, all the other great things that he's doing makes up for the one or two things here or there. I mean, you want to see them go away. I mean, if they would just go away, then his game right now would be elevated to the next level, and it's just not happening right now. And that's fine. We still should have had enough in that game to win. The defense held them down enough, and offensively, missed field goal, you know, things like that. We still had an opportunity. The run game again, I get Breida fumbled, but he is the speed, and New England was basically showing you exactly what to do to them. Just run the ball to the outside, get to the edge. We saw it late in the game, and I think everybody's probably seen it by now if they didn't really notice it during the game, that Zach Moss had all the room in the world to bounce the ball to the outside late in that game, and he probably gets in the end zone. But if Breida's in there, he's around the corner and gone. And it was just disappointing that it felt like the game plan didn't include him, and it went back to a guy who you just benched the week before. So didn't feel like we went into it like we were really, really confident in what we wanted to do. And I don't like that. Offensive line, I thought it would be a little better with everybody back. And that's the offensive line I've been kind of clamoring for, to let them get some weeks together to do it. It wasn't that great. New England's got a good defense. They've been doing it to a lot of people, but the run game, I would put almost more on the backs than I would on the offensive line, even though I know it starts with them. The backs in this game, it seemed like, and it was also like just run up the middle. It was like the same old, and you're running right into the best part of their defense. And typically you do that to open up the outside, but then we never even went to the outside. I mean, I don't even really like listening to the guys most of the time that are doing the play-by-play stuff, but they were basically calling out everything that needed to take place. Like, just get to the edges. Get to the edges. If you get to the edges, you get away from the teeth of their defense. It didn't seem like rocket science, but we couldn't seem to figure that out. So, tough game. Diggs, gorgeous catch. I mean, just like, that was the other piece of it, is he's just been so on fire, and then you just took the ball out of his hands. You know, Beasley was pretty non-existent. Dawson Knox had a couple drops that, you know, could have been nice catches. One was a little behind him. Clear pass interference, you know, late in that game when we're driving down. I guess the bear hug is allowed in the end zone. But to me, that was the atypical pass interference, when he barely got his head around at the very end and he's holding on to the guy. But that being said, there was still an opportunity to score and we didn't do it. Right. So, I mean, either way, the red zone woes were there. It knocks, I'm not going to bag him. After the game, he was like, I could be do better. And it was like, yeah, I mean, plain and simple, you could do better. I mean, if he makes a couple of those grabs, who knows? And he's been making those grabs, so I'm not going to discount it. It was a tough game. The weather was off. Everybody was kind of just a tad off on some plays here and there. So, but that's what it takes to win, you know, in Buffalo late in the year. So we're going to have to remedy that. All in all, if I'm giving out the game ball to anybody, even though it sucks to do it on the losing efforts, I mean, it still goes to probably Josh Allen. I mean, he just, for what he was dealing with, the play calling was just not good at all. And he never even was put in the situation to do a lot of those breakout runs that would have been helpful. Just the play calling was not that good, very predictable. It looked very vanilla almost. Vanilla is the kind of stuff that you're supposed to say like in the preseason. But I think at this point, it almost feels like a lot of these coaches are just seeing us as we run the same formations. And that could be because Josh likes that look and it's easier for him to recognize, maybe. But who knows? But it seems very vanilla and predictable. And we did that for years and it never ended good. So it's like we're going to take the talent that we have now and just ruin it with these non-inspired game plans. Like, what happened to the team that was putting up 33 points a game before the bye? Like, we were aggressive. We went out and dig things. It was like we told Josh to quit looking for the big play. So he quit looking for it. Now he can't seem to find a play. So it's a weird situation right now. Hopefully they'll remedy against, Tampa Bay this coming week, but it's going to be a big task. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, all in all, I know, like I mentioned off the top, it looked bad. You're like, they're going to run. They ran. But realistically, you look at it, a 164-yard run in there, you take that away, that 64-yard run, and you're basically talking about a team that got about 180-some yards. So this defense did not do anything that wasn't worthwhile of getting a win. Yes, it looks stupid that we were being run on left and right, but 14 points, we had four trips in the red zone. I mean, that should be at minimum 12 points, even if you get a field goal every trip down, right? That would have still been better than what we were doing at any point in the time in the red zone. So it was tough, but this was not on the defense. The defense did what they did. The only thing that they didn't do was they gave up the one big play, which has kind of been an Achilles heel that when in games that we lose, Jonathan Taylor, big runs, Derrick Henry, big runs early on. I mean, that was just kind of the Achilles heel for this defense. When we don't give up that big play, lights out. Obviously, we didn't get to really see what it was going to be like without Trey. I don't think this wasn't a passing game, right? So Milano, you know, he flashed there towards the end and stuff. Trayvon was pretty bottled up by what they were doing in the run game. And, you know, if you go back and watch some of it, the way that they were running the ball and they were utilizing their big bodies out on the edges against our little bodies and letting their smaller fullback and tight end bodies take over the big D line guys. It was just brilliant to watch. And in all of that, the linebackers were getting caught up in the middle, or they were getting hit down the field by those linemen running free at them. You know, so it was masterful what they did. And with all that being said, 240 yards is all we gave up in 14 points. I mean, one touchdown, two field goals, and a 2-point conversion. And we had four trips in the red zone. So I guess the only thing the defense could have done better was scored. Right? We could have used a big defensive turnover, but the other piece of that is Belichick took that out of play by running the ball for the most part. It's a lot harder to get, I would say, a fumble than an interception, you know, when the wind's whipping. So definitely a smart, brilliant plan in that regard. But this defense doesn't really deserve any kind of bagging whatsoever, you know, for this performance. Like, who cares? And we've been run over by more yards than this before. So there's been worse examples of this. And, you know, I think probably Pete Carroll in Seattle were asked the same things, like, how does it feel to be beat when a team doesn't run the ball on you at all and all they do is pass, and you know that's what they're going to do? You know, I mean, obviously, just because you know somebody's going to do something, if they're executing, it's still hard to stop, or you wouldn't do it. It's the simplicity of just hat on a hat and let your guy make a play. So defensively, though, I'm not bagging any of them. Again, if I'm handing out a game ball on that side, it's going back to the safeties. You know, Poyer had another nice game. He was in the backfield a bit. You know, no big splash play here or there, but they made some big game saving tackles. He and Hyde did, you know, when New England was getting through those holes. So you know, kudos to them again. But this coming week, we will get the challenge of seeing where this defense is at again, because this is a team that very much could just take this game plan and say, let's just do it. Let's try the same exact thing, except for it's going to be nice weather and we have Tom Brady. And we also have Evans, we have Leonard Fournette, we have Goodwin, we have, you know, Gronk, who we've always had struggles with. So this defense will get challenged this week for real. And we will see where it truly is at. Now, granted, it's probably going to be playing in cold, nasty weather in the playoffs, so we'll probably be okay in that regard. But this will be a good test to see where this defense is and how we move forward. And, you know, we'll see, because AJ Klein, we'll see what that looks like if he's back. I thought Dotson came in and played okay, but I think this game was definitely, like, it would have been nice to have AJ Klein. I feel like he would have really helped in the run game and just the way that he gets to the backfield and he attacks the ball. So, and of course, we won't leave out the third phase of the game, and an important one, obviously. In this one, it came up kind of big time where it changed the dynamic late in the game. So the special teams was interesting in this one. You know, McDermott chose to leave both guys down. When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you know, it feels like I'm seeing all the reports of the wind whipping around and everything. It feels like one of those games where maybe you just don't even put anybody back there, period. Just let the ball hit the ground where it hits the ground and you go from there. It's better than having it bounce off a guy or something like that, right? So you saw that happen on the other side of the field. You know, so in that regard, and then Hyde he's done it in the past. He's never done it really for us, but he's done it in the past, and he's a sure-handed guy and he's a smart guy. And I think that was more what it was about, is just smarts, not even necessarily ever really planning on anybody having to catch the ball, just making sure there was a guy back there that could direct it. So, you know, and Matt, the Hackman, he actually had a nice game punting the ball. You know, no big misses in crappy conditions like that. I think that's just the biggest thing. No big mistake. He didn't do that. So, you know, kudos to him. And I know it, Bass-O-Matic, man, it was so close. And the way he was kicking it earlier, I can see why he went that route, you know, trying to keep it down that right side. But and the kid's been killer. And yeah, it was a miss, and it came out, ended up being huge. I mean, if he makes that and we're down there late, we're not going for it on 4th and 14, right? We're attempting another field goal to, you know, then get ourselves in the position to be possibly winning the football game, right, at 16. So it would have been interesting, but they would have still had time to go down and do their thing as well, the way that the timing and everything would have played out on that. So we don't really truly know, but if all they were going to do is run, the odds would have maybe been pretty good. So yeah, it sucks. I'm still going to say that he's going to make that 9 out of 10 times. And it just so happened that it wasn't the time, but he's had a great season. And I think that that's going to continue. You know, I'm not really necessarily worried about it. He's got warm weather in Tampa, you know, and then from there, we're going to get to, you know, kind of truly see how he's going to do in the weather. But I think we're going to be fine either way. He's got the leg. It's the wind is always going to be a challenge for everybody, but he's going to be fine. Game ball on that end, it's got to go to Hyde, because with the wind whipping, and that was a difference. I mean, that was an opportunity right there where, you know, that if we would have let that happen on our side, it would have definitely hurt us in this game, having a punt game issue the way that New England did. So kudos to him in that regard. So this is big. I mean, we talked about it moving forward into this game, that this was, you know, kind of a must win type of game. We didn't win it. It's not over yet. You know, there's still plenty of room to go here. It's going to get a little thicker, you know, with the challenge coming this week. Tampa Bay is a good football team. A matter of fact, for everybody that is kind of freaking out, and I mean, I know we're not looking great right now, but week 13 of last season, I believe Tampa Bay was 8-5. They went on to win the Super Bowl, right? So it's not over yet. So keep the hope, but this is going to be a task, especially in their building. And Brady knows this team from history. It's not necessarily the same team, but he's got success in his eyes this weekend, right? You have to believe that, but we'll get into all that this week on the Friday show. So make sure you guys are checking out the preview show on Friday morning or Friday afternoon, whenever, you know, you guys happen to check it out. But that's going to do it for this week's phase report. Definitely not what we were looking for, and kind of everything we were looking for, because that game was set up for us to win and we just didn't finish it. But on to the next one. And as Josh Allen said, everything we want is still in front of us. And everything you want from the Buffalo Nerd is right in front of you. And make sure you guys are heading over to buffalolowdown.com and checking out what everybody's up to over there. They're writing out good stuff, putting out good articles, if that's your jam. And obviously everything that I'm up to, you guys can find at thebuffalonerd.com. And of course, go Bills.
You just listen to the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. You leave a review and subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time. Leg out.
Progressive Snapshot can save you money based on how you drive and how much you drive. So the safer you drive, the more money you could save. Now, if you didn't hear that because you were looking at your phone while driving, let me say it again.
Seriously, put down your phone. That is so unsafe. If you didn't do stuff like use your phone while driving, you could save money with Progressive Snapshot. But saving or not, just put it down.
And if you did hear it the first time because you weren't looking at your phone, nice work. You'd love Snapshot from Progressive because it rewards safe drivers. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California and North Carolina or from all agents.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.